Blog Talk Radio.
DJ Sanakori, a.k.a. Behike, and check this out, Don. You reached Dino Radio, Don. Please don't turn that dial. And check this out, you future listeners. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Taino Creation Stories, Part 2. Man, we're going to dwell into some great stuff. I'm going to talk about two figures in the Taino creation stories. That's Bayamalako and Deminan Galakalakor. Man, this is going to be an awesome show. And I just want everyone to know that it's very important to always read these creation stories over and over and over again. This is what was left to us by our ancestors. Many of you may know, many of you may not know, but in previous shows I've mentioned that Ramon Pane had no clue what he was writing. Why? Because he didn't know the general Taino dialect, which was the trade dialect. He knew a local dialect, the Macorís language. So who wrote these stories? Well, that's going to be for another show. I've been working on it. The Spaniards know them as Juan Mateo, the official translator of Ramon Pane, who was a Taino. So we're going to throw that seed down, but definitely next time I'm going to introduce that figure again, that Juan Mateo. I'm going to throw that seed down and see what's up. Well, thank you for listening and downloading this show. In the creation stories, as we know, part one, I mentioned about Yaya and Yayael and so on. So let me just review. In the creation stories, there's an introduction of Yaya and Juan Aron, the great linguistic Spaniard from the University of Yale University. He, through the Arawak language, he interpreted the Yaya as the spirit of spirits, and he had a son named Yayael, who was the son of Yaya. And basically, Yayael was punished for being disobedient, being a rebellious man. He was a son. He was banished for 4 months, but of course he came back before the 4 months, and his father, Yaya, killed him out of punishment. And then according to the story, time went by and Yaya missed his son. Wait, let me backtrack. I'm sorry. When Yaya was killed, they put his bones in a gourd and he hung it from the roof of the rafters of the bohío that they were sleeping. And guess what? After some time, Yaya was missing his son. So he told his wife to bring down the gore so they can see the bones of their son. And this made her very happy. So when they looked inside the gore, bam, what happened? It was all these fish and water. And they began to eat it. Now, in previous shows and other shows as well, we mentioned how I interpret this eating as maybe a taboo related to cannibalism, since they were eating the bones of his son. But these bones turn into fish, which is a symbol of the Taino culture. We're going to dwell into this in the future when it relates to cannibalism and so on. But for now, I just want you to hold on to that image. So what happened was, it seems like Yaya was returning from his conucos. Or he went, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little confused, sorry. So Yaya went to his conucos, which is the farms, the plots. And what happened was, Itiba Kahubawa, which Juan Aron translates as the bloody age mother. And she gave birth to four sons as a cesarean, because the first one she was alive for, but died. I mean, the first one she named Deminan Karakarakor, and the other three died. So they were removed through cesarean, according to the story. Wow. A lot of information here we're going to break down. But today, I'm going to focus on what happened. Deminan Karakarakor. Karakarakor represents the, let's say, the scabby one. The one that has scabs in his hand, related to the syphilis disease. Wow, again, that's a future show. We're going to talk about syphilis in the creation stories. But basically, Deminan, through the assistance of his brothers, they made a human ladder. He climbed up. He took the gore down because they were very, very hungry. And they started to eat the fish. Now they heard Yaya returning from the conucos, and in their haste, they tried their best to hang the gore back, and it fell. And because it fell, it all broke. All the ocean came out, all the fish, which I believe is the birth of creation. Okay, I believe there's several stories related to creation stories, to creation of life. And one is this, you know, the gore, which represents the vessel of dead things. Okay, it's a dead object. It's a dead object. A gore dries, becomes very hard. It's not living, it's dead. But yet it contained the bones, and the bones turn into fish. And then Deminan breaking this gore, all the water breaks, right? And and it creates the sea, according to the story. Now, afterwards, after the creation of the sea and the Caribbean Sea, I guess we call it, all the islands, Deminan and his brothers were very hungry, and they were in search for food. And the food they were searching for, the main staple food of the Taino people, is cassave. And when they saw his grandfather, Karakarakor, Deminan said, "Ahiakabo Karakoel," which I don't translate to, "We know our grandfather." Now, typically, you would think that the grandfather was happy to meet his grandchildren. And this wasn't the case. These sacred beings were something else. And I guess they offended Bayamaraco, and Bayamaraco shot some spittle right on Deminan's back, which caused him a lot of pain, and it created an ulcer. Now, in the book Taino, in the Museo de los Barrios, back in 1998, Juan Aron from the Yale University, he started sharing some cool stuff about guanguayo. What is guanguayo? According to him, in his book in 1974, he associates the guayo as a salty ashes of the type of freshwater algae. And in the Taino dialect, Arawak, it's, hold on a second, my eyes have failed me. Hueya or Hueya. So this is the local name that the Arawaks and the Arawakan dialect refers to as a mixture of chewing tobacco. Okay. So Aron notes that tobacco, when chewed raw, most likely in combination with this mixture of this algae, causes excessive salivation. So guanguayo then, according to him, must be a tobacco guayo mixture, okay? And his interpretation, he feels that it's related to the Panay account, okay? Because Panay didn't really get into it too much. Like I said before, I don't think he was the guy who wrote all this down. So the question remains then, according to this story, when does spittle come from the nose? Because it seems like it came from the nose. So a little confusion here. So spittle, is it mucus? So perhaps, you know, Pane was confused with the terms. He really didn't explain it too well. But basically, Bayamaraco had been taking cojoba, okay? And strings of this mucus from the cojoba were dripping from his nose, according to the story, if you infer. Now, since both the spit and the snot, okay, have a vicious consistency, here we go. Ready for this? This is what we can interpret as semen, okay? Semen coming from Bayamaraco, from the sacred mucus, from a cojoba, okay? So basically, Deminar was impregnated by this sacred mucus, which was rooted in the tobacco, the raw tobacco, the cojoba, and guayo, which is the algae, freshwater algae. So bam, there you go. It hits his head. No, not his head, I'm sorry. It hits his back, and it creates an ulcer, okay, from his back. And then, before you know it, a woman was born, but she was a turtle woman, or a female turtle, comes out of the back of Deminon after his brothers were taking the sacred axe, the manaya, and they started chopping away. And wow, and there she was, and he created a hut, or I should say a bohio for her, and she bore children, which we consider in our interpretation, like Juan Arón and many others, this is the creation of humanity, the children. So our humans that came out of Casibajagua, basically they had parents that were Deminan, Caracaracol, and of course the turtle woman. And this is some powerful stuff, you know. Bayamaraco is the root of all this. What's causing all this? Yes, Bayamaraco, who shot the spittle called guanguayo, okay? And it's all rooted in the cojoba ceremony. Wow, we can break this down. We can go for hours with this. But if anyone ever experienced the yopo ceremony or the cojoba, you know, you do create tremendous amounts of mucus in your nose because it's a snuff. The medicine is a snuff that activates the DMT in the pineal gland, and you're able to travel to the spirit world, okay? And here's the thing about this. That mucus, metaphorically, is the semen that impregnates Deminon. This is kind of interesting because Bayamaraco, grandfather, male, Deminon, son of Itibakawa, was also a male, but yet, bam, he's impregnated with this spittle. This is some powerful stuff. Or I should say the guanguayo. And in the next show, I'm going to really expand on this whole impregnating Deminon, and out comes the female turtle. We see this a lot in the creation stories in the beginning, about males being impregnated, okay? And then, as we all know, Atabe is the Earth Mother, and a lot of the art that we see, especially in Borinquen and Caguana, she is squatting, she's giving birth. Now, I believe that's a way older interpretation of the creation stories. That's my belief. Future shows, I'm going to expand more on that. The Turtle Mother. I even mentioned on one show that maybe this refers to the Star People. as our ancestors, which many cultures believe that we come from the stars. This is some ancient imagery that our ancestors put on stones, carved on stones, Pishinkaguana in the Bate. But just want you to hold on to that image of Deminam being impregnated by Bayamanaco. So what did we learn from Bayamanaco? Basically, we learned that he was the master or the originator of the Kahoba ceremony. He also, to make Kahoba, definitely you need those ingredients that was found in the guanguayo, that spittle that was shot at Deminam, that sacred semen made out of the sacred medicine. Also, Deminam was requesting cassava. How can I forget that? Cassava, another sacred food for the Taino. Tons of protein, tons of vitamins, carbohydrates, makes you strong. So basically, the cassava, the cohoba, and then within that mixture of the cohoba, there was tobacco, the sacred tobacco. And how can we forget? We need fire to cook the ingredients of the cohoba and also the cassava. Okay, the cassava we have to use to, we need fire to cook it. So there it is, the fire element as a gift that Bayamanaco is offering to the, in the Taino culture. So we got cassava, fire, cohoba, tobacco. These are all powerful medicine ingredients of Taino spirituality. So right now I'm going to play some music here. Hey, those are the cookies. Where that showed up? Nah, I'm just kidding. Very good stuff, man. Very good stuff with the cookies. So, this song is called El Semi, the sacred bean. Thank you. that's my brother right there, Guatibiri. Great song. His name is called El Semi. Man, that's an awesome song. I may even play it later on again, El Semi. Whenever I, honor my Yoka Hu Guama Semi, I always listen to that song. It's an amazing song, El Semi. So thank you, brother. Guatibiri. Thank you for that beautiful song. I want to get another song here. It's written by one of the, if you check out the album called, it's called Borinque Naiki Taino. And it was written by, it's inspired by Javier Hernandez's book, Borinque Naiki, but it's his Angel Manuel Rosado. He did some good job in his album. I'll give it to him, and I love his some of his songs. So I'm going to look through the archives here, and let's check it out. See if we can get one of those songs from the album. And let's see. Isla Borinquen, Angel Manuel Rosado.
How about you? Tai Wei. tahat anakaona, Taino ti Boriken.
That's a fun song. I love it, man. That's awesome. Isla Boninken. Hey, thank you, Angel, wherever you at. And check this out. And Javier, thank you for the language. Now we're going to end the show, but next week, Creation Stories Part 3, we're going to expand on this Deminon story being impregnated by Bayamanako. And he gives birth to the turtle woman, the turtle mother. Interesting. We're going to continue this talk next week. And also talk about the secrets of Bayamanako. Take care, everybody. See you soon.